AKA Patters, my fellow film buffers. Are you missing football? Yeah, we miss it a lot here, even though that Super Bowl is maybe one of the worst Super Bowls I have ever seen. I'm being hyperbolic. Peter A. DeLuca here, AKA Pad69. You guys know me as a film buff, and you've been with me for over 630 episodes. And today we're talking about Burt Reynolds and football. And no, it's not the longest yard. It's Burt Reynolds, Kris Kristofferson. That's right, the first A Star Is Born, Blade's best friend. 1977. Reynolds, Kristofferson, semi-tough football. They're pros. This is a comedy, and we have some issues. Let's get into it.
Camera speed, down production, take one.
Action!
Welcome back, guys. I'm excited. Long pause, but we are getting there to two episodes a day, 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Get ready. We're going to be doing the same on YouTube, where we are discussing almost everything. Film books, film news, film. Even now, I'm debating on doing a quick update episode on the Christian Bale, Jackie Gyllenhaal Frankenstein movie. They just dropped these images and the internet is freaking out about it. So these are a lot of things. We're going to be embarking on something I long didn't want to do, which is the hot take, hot culture. Like the hot take news culture of all of pop culture and entertainment is the worst. But what the heck? Let's just do it for some views. And that's where I'm at. So we're in this long-form study now, and I'm looking at the list of our director, Michael Ritchie. He's one of the greatest comedy directors of all time, but he also made Goody Hawn's Wildcats, and I have to see that movie, because we're kind of a little bit on a run here of comedy football movies, where we're doing Semi-Tough here, then we're going to be doing the Gridiron Gang. Then we're going to be doing Roughnecks with George Clooney, The Freshman. That's right, a silent movie. And I feel like I should throw Wildcats right in there. So some of these morning drops, hopefully, if I stay on target, as they say in Star Wars, will be this football theme that pretty much started during last year's NFL playoffs. So some of the problems with this movie, I just want to get it out of the way. If you're upset about language, this movie's not for you. If you're upset about misogyny, if you're really the idea of women being objectified or put on platters for men, if this upsets you, please move on. But we have other things to discuss. We have the comedic timing and brilliance of Burt Reynolds. I almost said Kurt Warner there. Of Burt Reynolds. Of Burt Reynolds during this time. He was doing two movies a year, 20 years straight. His filmography, he's got to have 110, 130 movies. When Burt Reynolds re-emerges into the scene, I was there for Boogie Nights. When Paul Thomas Anderson's Boogie Night drops, he's in a very much of a, like, I don't know how we want to describe Burt Reynolds' comedy style. It's a little bit deadpan. It's a little bit matter of fact, but he's always like, he's a little bit like Bugs Bunny. He's one step ahead. He's just, we see this also in the Gridiron Gang, where he's kind of like just one step ahead throughout all of that movie. So we get Burt Reynolds. He is our Joe Namath. I really feel like a lot of football films at this time emulated Joe Namath. And we're kind of in this deconstruction point of view of Joe Namath now, where he's repeatedly on the overrated football or overrated Super Bowl winning football quarterback list. But his Joe Namath's impact onto the sport is far greater than any game that he won. It's more great. The greatest ever, but it's more great because he won. Because he won Super Bowl III. He beat the Colts with that famous prediction. Dane Jenkins. he's the one that wrote the book that all this is based on. And Dane Jenkins is, he has a history of football comedy books. This guy's filmography is as long as Michael Ritchie's and Burt Reynolds' filmography. And these are the films I really enjoy getting to know. Because everyone connected has a laundry list. And holy crap, it's fantastic. I love delving into careers and, you know, like, you're familiar with this, you're not familiar with that. I think it's a part of being a true film buff. But Dane Jenkins sets up a story that is really about two men navigating the NFL or navigating pro ball, and they're a little bit of a triangle. And not a lot of that ends up in the movie. I was watching this, and I was so surprised after reading about this movie when I was done that at the time, this movie was looked at as more of a commentary on the self-help movement, notably EST. And EST got sued out of existence by Scientology. I could be paraphrasing a little bit, but I know there was lawsuits and it went away shortly after. For a while, the EST book was a $90 book on Amazon. I believe it's come down since then. But anything connected to Scientology is a part of Hollywood lore from the late 60s on, because it's predominantly a East Coast phenom that has went into every single major city. I believe I haven't checked their chapter list yet, in a while. But no, but Scientology is intertwined with Hollywood, and we have to make a note of it. We have to monitor it, and we have to speak about it when it's here. So this movie comes in pretty hard about the first 30 minutes. The first 30 minutes of any football movie is fantastic. The last 30 minutes of any football movie is fantastic. Because we get the introductions. We get all the zany personalities. We get the lifestyle. And then we get the big game at the end. And everything in the middle is most likely the problem. And in this case, the middle's the problem. Some people might call it the second act, but it's very tough to identify movies that are in, you know, like, what scenes in the first act, what scenes in the second act. Overall, I think as a performance of Kris Kristofferson and Burt Reynolds, this movie, you would be curious about this movie. Overall, though, I don't feel like it's a essential football film. This is more of a football trivia film. It's more of a footnote, pun intended. And it's just more of a movie to know when we discuss football movies. And if we do what we're doing here, if you do what we're doing here at Team, aka Pad Film Buff, we make a list of all the movies and we go through them. This is just another movie on the list after we talk about the Mount Rushmore football movies. And for a lot of the audience, and that's really who, that's what streaming unlocks. Streaming unlocks the connection of the content to the audience. And now we don't have distributors and marketing and all this other stuff. We don't even have careers. We literally can sit down and discover things. This is just one of those movies that, on the right sense, is just going to get traded from one streaming service to the next streaming service. Whatever quote-unquote free training service emerges, this movie is going to be in there. But it's important because we want to monitor the career of Michael Ricci. We want to monitor the career of Burt Reynolds and Kris Kristofferson. We kind of want to not shy away, but we do want to understand the context that some of these words and these phrases and these situations are portrayed in this movie. We have to take it all in, and this movie becomes, for some, an uncomfortable historical document. But for many, it becomes a historical document, and it's important because of that. I feel like this movie, it had a path as you're watching it. You want to carve out that Burt Reynolds, is this, kind of aloof NFL quarterback that just gets the job done. His wide receiver, Chris Christopherson, you want him to be the man. And a lot of times, you know, like we go back up to like Scott Kahn in Varsity Blues. Chris Christopherson and Scott Kahn, like there's almost like a Nick Nolte that we just had in North Dallas 40. There's a sidekick mentality to wide receiver characters. That got solidified in this movie. And the other great sequence in this film, and the one that stands out, there's a reason why we watch and rewatch movies, so we can memorize them. When we're on a little bit of a trek like this, it's a journey into a genre, like a very deep cut, we sometimes watch movies one time. So I want to say I watched this movie once. I did go back and forth on it. But there's this hilarious scene, my favorite scene, where Burt Reynolds, he's at a bar with his buds, with all the team. And he kind of goes through the bar, and there's no woman there until he gets up, and his girl, at this point taken by Chris Christopherson, he gets a little ornery. So he goes back to the bar, and the one woman that gave that shit tested everyone, gave everyone crap, the bigger lady, he lures her up to his room, and they spend the night together. And along the way, he's getting looks, he's getting skunk eyes, he's getting he's hiding the fact that he's got this little bigger overweight woman, and he's sneaking her up to his room. Yeah, people today would label this fat shaming. Scenes that would never occur right now. Are we better moving forward? Like, only time will tell that these types of scenes are basically exorcised, like the demons that they are from the film industry. Some people believe, like the demons that they are. It's interesting. It really is. But this movie, it does chug even at the end. We have a botched fake wedding. We get a conversation of Burt Reynolds and the girl that he wants, because she's supposed to be marrying someone else. We get this conversation on the beach, and it just doesn't really like hit home. It hits home that they're kind of still young, they're still wacky, they're still trying to figure things out. This is not for them, but they're going to move forward. I wish that point, like that scene at the end, had a little bit more significance. The football at the end, the game at the end, then we're kind of charting the playoffs. We're charting their career, you know, like somewhat of the season. It looks like they win. Just recollection. I'm not sure if they win the championship or if they go to the championship. So there's a lot of that. And the later movies like Any Given Sunday, they get better with tracking this as a visual medium. You know, like we're communicating things. Just on a visual sense, we can track these things just the way that they're edited. Not shot, edited. Of course, you have to shoot things to edit, but it's the editing that later. And if anybody wants a lesson in that, watch a lot of these earlier NFL football, or watch a little pro football movies, watch earlier pro football movies, and go into the modern day, and you will see the visual highlights and visual notes of games and of seasons, and you can follow them. You can follow them with no sound, which is the true test. These movies, you cannot. You need audio. You need the announcers helping you. The announcers in some of these movies act as they do in real life. They help you follow the action. Later, the announcers in a lot of final game sequences or final moment sequences, they accentuate and they add to everything. And sometimes they act as a dramatic device or a comedic device. It's interesting, but they're not essential to following where we are in the season. Yeah, Semi-Tough came out of nowhere for me. I was happy to explore it. I cannot recommend it as a top pro football movie or top pro football comedy. I just can't. I would put Necessary Roughness miles above this. And upcoming, I will put Roughnecks above this. But doing comedy and football is becoming quite difficult as we're moving through our films here. Rock and Roll, AKA Pat here, the film buff. Thank you for sticking with me, guys. We have so much more coming.
Okay, that's a wrap.